This is Part B of the stealth revolution of religion and government in the last days, number one. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. Now, I want to tell you something very important to understand. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the receiving of the Holy Spirit and the understanding of the instructions in the New Testament is far greater than all of the temple worship in the past, all of the animal sacrifices. And if you do not uphold the sacrifice of Christ and uphold the laws and commandments of God, you are part of that conspiracy, deceived by Satan the devil, and you are preaching the spirit of Antichrist to your people. That's where it is. Here's why. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Oh, every day is holy. Oh, Sunday is the Lord's Day. They changed it. Which man had the gall to do that? A pagan Roman emperor called Constantine. So you think you're worshiping Christ? Think again. You put no difference between the holy and profane, and have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths. Closed your eyes. Rejected them. And I am profaned among them. It's no light thing for anyone to say from the pulpit, Paul changed the laws of God. Liar. The Old Testament has all been fulfilled. Liar. Now, those are the prophets, all the religious people. We'll add some more scriptures into it here in a little bit. Next, he talks about the rulers. So everyone's involved. See, the whole world is going to have a confrontation with Jesus Christ in person. So now's the time we need to decide, what am I going to do? Now, verse 27 talks about our rulers, but we'll come back to this a little later, okay? What I want to do is see other indictments of prophets. Let's come to Isaiah 30 now, and let's see what you hear almost every Sunday. Now, there may be a Sunday-keeping preacher here and there that's trying to preach some of the truth, but it's just like when Billy Graham was asked why he didn't preach the Sabbath. He says, well, he says, I preach as much as I'm allowed to preach. See, because if he really preached Sabbath-keeping, and he knew the Sabbath was the day, all of you do, all who are ministers and all who read the Bible, how could you possibly think that you're preaching out of the Bible the truth when the Bible upholds the Sabbath from Genesis to Revelation? And even Cardinal Gibbons of Baltimore, which we have as an appendix in the back of the Holy Bible in its original order, he wrote Rome's Challenge to the Protestants. 1893. We have the whole thing there. It's interesting, there are four articles that he wrote proving to the Protestants that if you claim you follow the Bible and don't keep the Sabbath, you're a lying hypocrite. You either need to keep it or you're going to suffer the death of God or come and join the Catholic Church who instituted Sunday. And I'll try and bring up the significance of 1893. That was a very significant turning point. And those four articles, by the way, in the Catholic Mirror, printed in Baltimore, all four were printed on consecutive Sabbaths. So it turned out to be quite a witness. That's why we have it there. Now notice, Let's back up and pick it up here in verse 8 instead of verse 12. We'll come here to verse 8. Isaiah 30 and verse 8. Go, now go, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, so that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That means down to the return of Christ. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, and the average person tells 3 lies in 10 minutes. Are you not deceitful and lying? How many lies have you told today? They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. They want their own way. And let me just say this. You worship God His way or no way. If you try and worship Him your way without heartfelt repentance and determination to love and obey God, your worship is in vain. Refuse to hear the law of the Lord. So anyone who says the law is not applicable today, you need to go back and read verse 8 again, for the time to come forever and ever. Who say to the seers, see not. Oh, don't bring these harsh words. You're picking on me. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. We come to church to be uplifted. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Go out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So not only is it the prophets, it's those who hear. Not only is it the Sunday-keeping teachers, it is those who embrace and love Sunday-keeping. And those who cling to their traditions and say, well, all my family were Catholic, and if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Wrong question. It may have been good enough for them, but is it good enough for God? That's the question. Verse 12, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word to trust in oppression and perverseness and to rely on them, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. A perfect description of Protestantism today. Swelling out in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is smashed in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire out of the hearth or to take water out of the pit. Now, this is God speaking. Now, let's come to Jeremiah 23. Let's see what God says about this. Very interesting. You can read the whole thing. We'll read certain verses here. Jeremiah 23. Let's pick it up here. In verse 11, after it says the land is full of adulterers, because it's verse 10, go back to verse 10. No. Verse 9. As for the prophets, my heart within me is broken, writes Jeremiah. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. I am like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord, because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, because of swearing the land mourns. The pleasant places of the field are dried up, their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. For both prophet and priest are ungodly, yea, in my house I have found their evil, says the Lord. And you go back and you read 2 Chronicles 33 and see what they did in the days of Manasseh. Verse 12. so their way shall be to them as slippery ways in darkness. When that happens, you don't know what's going on. Is that the way your life is right now? Well, there's the reason for it. They shall be driven on and shall fall in their way, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their judgment. Isn't that interesting? There comes a time of judgment. Are we into that right now? We'll have to wait and see. I've seen repulsive things in the prophets of Samaria, and they worship the sun god, because Jeroboam, if you read back in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12 and 13, he reinstituted the calf worship, which is Baal worship, which is Sunday worship, because Sunday is the day of the sun. And yet people think they're worshiping God on Sunday. They're not. They're worshiping Baal. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to go astray. I have also seen the prophets in Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They have strengthened the hand of evildoers so that none returns from his evil. They are all of them like Sodom to me and are inhabitants like Gomorrah. I just reference in your margin there Isaiah the first chapter. Therefore, thus says the Lord to hosts, the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink poisonous waters, for from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has come forth into all the land. And what are they sanctifying as bishops today? Homosexuals married to homosexuals. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. It's not interesting. If you speak the words of God, it's the same as out of the mouth of the Lord, huh? They still say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they said to everyone who walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who has attended to his word and heard it? God's looking around. Who's doing it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord is gone forth in a fury, and a whirling tempest. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he has performed the purposes of his heart in the latter days. You shall understand it perfectly. Are we in the latter days? You better believe it. If you don't believe it, you better listen up. Pay attention. Verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Now, I want you to understand the power of the Word of God. Because remember, he made Balaam the false prophet to speak the truth, to bless Israel, when he wanted to curse. Verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel, that is, believe God. This is really saying, all you Sunday-keeping ministers, you only select the part out of the Bible that you like, but you won't select all the Word of God. Even a con man has a lot of truth, so he can con and tell lies. So the lies become believable, and that's exactly what you're doing. But if, God said, they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Would God recognize that? Yes, of course. God says, am I a God who is near, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Of course he's near. Near to anyone who will call upon him. in truth and in righteousness. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I do not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? Yes. With his power to uphold it, knowing all things that there is? Yes. I've heard what the prophets said who prophesy in my name, lies in my name. Not something. So I want to ask if there's any Sunday-keeping ministers who might happen to endure this far and listen to what I'm saying, what lies have you told in the name of God? And if you're a Sunday-keeping person and you've endured to this point, what lies have you heard from the pulpit against God? Lots of them. The prophets who prophesy lies, who are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. God says, how long will this be? Notice, verse 27, they scheme, that is with their doctrines and their smooth words, to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams which they tell. Each one to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Remember, it says, in the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. Now, how can you say that this part of the Old Testament has been fulfilled when it's actually being fulfilled right today? So he says, verse 28, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. The one who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's what this is all about. This is not about me. This is not about the brethren in Christian Biblical Church of God or anyone else. It is, do we believe and speak faithfully the words of God as he intended? Not according to our own thoughts, not according to our own ways, not according to our own schemes. Let him speak it faithfully. Do you believe that? Do you do that? Do you follow that? If you're a preacher, do you really do that? Otherwise, he says, what is the chaff to the wheat, and who are the wheat? The true people of God. The ones who are not are the chaff. Verse 29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Remember what Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, anyone who falls on this rock, that is speaking of himself as the chosen rock, the cornerstone, shall find mercy. If you fall upon that rock and repent, but on whom it falls, it will grind him to powder. And the scribes and Pharisees perceived that Jesus was talking about them. But did they repent? No. They plotted how they might kill him. So what's your attitude? Now notice verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. So if you don't preach all the words of God, and you use some of the words of God, what are you doing? You're stealing. You're stealing from God. And when you preach some of the words, which are smooth and nice and sound good, you're lying in the name of God. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets who use their tongues and say, he says, when I did not say. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them and cause my people to go astray by their lies and their wantonness. Yet, I did not send them, nor command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all. That's the first cause of why we are where we are. The second cause are the political leaders. So let's come back to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. See, the truth of the matter is this. The only right kind of government is when God rules in your life. And you have a personal relationship with Him, which the homosexual bishop of the Episcopal Church says, it's heresy to say that you have a personal relationship with God. Is it? You see how far they have gone? Saying in the name of God, it's heresy to have a personal relationship with God when God says that's what He wants? How far have they gone? How far have you gone? Will they turn back? Come to God? Will you come back? Come to God? Now notice, verse 27, Ezekiel 22. Her rulers in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood and destroy souls to get unjust gain. Does that not describe our current economic disaster? So that the government becomes the center of everything. We'll talk about the rulers here in just a minute. Verse 28, a little more of the prophets here. And her prophets have covered themselves with whitewash, seeing false visions and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. And I wonder what the current president thinks whenever he takes a Bible in hand to deceive people that he's Christian. Or any of the other leading politicians as well. Now granted, there are some few politicians who are trying to show the truth of all these political shenanigans. But because of the sins of the politicians and the people, they have no voice. And even if they had a voice, never accomplish what God would want them to do. Verse 29, how does this affect the people? The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, they have troubled the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall for the land and stand at a breach before me so that I should not destroy it, but I did not find one, that is, among the prophets and the rulers. Therefore, I have poured my fury on them. I have burned them up with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their way upon their heads, says the Lord. Let me just state this. The government that we now have is punishment for the sins of the people, the religious leaders, and the politicians. Now, I'm going to read a summary from an article that's entitled, The Revolution Was, to show you how they have done this. Because if you think that you going out and voting are really electing someone yourself, you got another thought coming. Hasn't happened in a long time. Now, I mentioned 1893. Now, 1893 was a seminal point in the history of the United States in relationship to the Bible and the Sabbath. That's when Rome's Challenge was written. So by all means, you read it. If you don't have the Bible, you can ask for a Sabbath Sunday controversy you have never heard. 1893 was also a highlight year, for that was the first Parliament of World's Religions held in the United States. And that, with Madame Blavatsky and all of the theophists of the elite, and all who followed that philosophy, began to come into the government to take it over. To take it over, not by rebellion, not by revolution, but by change of government through elections. And the first one to start this was Teddy Roosevelt. Everyone says a good president. Probably was. But you see, you do it incrementally. He was just the start. What did he do? He began to centralize power in the executive branch. And I'll bring it out a little bit later. I don't think you understand the power that is in the executive branch today. So in this, the revolution was, it's looking back, I'm coming back to a time before then. Who was the next president after that? Woodrow Wilson. He was elected in 1912, took office in 1913. In December 1913, what was passed? The Federal Reserve Act. Once that door was open and those kind of elite were there, all of the elite, the highly educated, the professors, and the ideological philosophy that they have, began to take hold, bit by bit by bit. And they lie to you. Just like Woodrow Wilson said, we will never go to war, so he could get elected in 1916. And as soon as he got in office, well, we have to go to war. Now, as I cover some of these things and we come up to the time, I want you to remember theses, antithesis, synthesis. This is how Satan works. This is how politicians work. This is how communists work. This is how Nazis work. This is how those who are totalitarian governments always work. Thesis is the way that things are. So before Teddy Roosevelt, that's the way that they were. See, the money was backed by gold and silver. Everyone proclaimed that this was a Christian nation, and even the Supreme Court did at that time. But they had an opportunity in 1893 to repent and forsake Sunday keeping and to keep the Sabbath and keep the holy days, and they did not, so the downward trend came. And because there was no repentance among the clergy, then a change in government came by the elite. So after World War I and the boom that came, very similar to what we have now, everybody, those were roaring 20s. Money was everywhere. The federal government was spewing out money. The Federal Reserve was spewing out money. And there was money everywhere. Just like today. And then they started marginal lending, just like today. And what happened? The crash of 1929. Never waste a crisis. So Herbert Hoover was elected president. He tried to do exactly the same thing that Obama's doing today, spend our way out of the depression into prosperity. That didn't work, and the election against Hoover by Roosevelt was a turning point, and that's when the revolution began to occur. That's why this article is called "The Revolution Was," because too many people are looking for something to happen to change the government. Wake up, it has already happened. Now, the prestige of the elite, I'm reading from page 4, a summary, was natural for many reasons, but it rested also upon one practical consideration. When the opportunity came, the ability to use it took place. I'm sort of paraphrasing it here. The elite could produce one, and that was something the Communist Party could not hope to do, that is, by bloody revolution as it was in Russia. Because the elite looked and said, "Oh, this is easy pickings. Now, we believe the same as Lenin, but we don't have to destroy everything. We want all the wealth. We want all of these things intact. So, here's the opportunity. FDR. So I'll call this phase one of the revolution. Today, we are in phase two, or the final phase of it, called change you can believe in. Same thing Hitler preached. All elected lawfully. So here's the opportunity. Number one, opportunity. Two, a country whose fabulous wealth was in the modern forms, dynamic, functional, non-portable. A people so politically naive as to have passed a law against any attempt to overthrow their government by force. Now, how are you going to stop that? Well, they didn't want to do it by force. A perfect law. Come in by stealth. Use words that everyone loves. Freedom. Individuality. Recovery. And that's what they preached. That's what FDR preached. Recovery, recovery, recovery. Four, the intention to bring about what Aristotle called a revolution in the state within the framework of existing law. Have you ever asked yourself, why does Congress have to have so many laws? Because they're taking over the government. Then from the point of view of the scientific revolutionary technic, what would the problems be? They set themselves down in sequence as follows. First, naturally would be to capture the seat of government, the president. Okay, that started with Woodrow Wilson. We could say he was phase one, FDR phase two, today's phase three. All right? Second would be to seize economic power. Starting of the Federal Reserve began it. FDR did it by closing all the banks, confiscating the gold. But all the wealthy ones in the know bought silver. And Bernard Baruch became a really tremendous millionaire who was advisor to FDR because he had lots and lots of silver that he purchased. Seize economic power. That's exactly what FDR did, right? Yes, indeed. What's happening today? Repeat on a bigger scale. Third would be to mobilize by propaganda the forces of hatred. No, that's third, yeah. Fourth. The fourth would be to reconcile and then attach to the revolution two great classes whose adherence is indispensable but whose interests are economically antagonistic, namely the industrial wage earners and the farmers, called in Europe workers and peasants. Bring them together. Fifth would be what to do with business, whether to liquidate or to shackle it. Today, we have both. These five would have a certain imperative order in time and require immediate decisions because they belong to the program of conquest. That's why we've got to get these things done now. Congress must act upon it now. Congress must get it out by August. And they haven't even written the law yet. And I'll tell you about who writes it. It will blow you away. I'll just say this. If you think your congressmen and senators write the laws, you are naive beyond belief. All right. Let me continue. I'm not ready for that. That's just a little preview of coming events. A little teaser. That would not be the end, but what then ensues? A program of consolidation. Under that head, the problems continues. What did FDR do? Consolidated power in the executive branch. And I'll just tell you this right now, if you don't know it. There are on the books enough executive orders that we could have a total dictatorship in 24 hours declared by state of emergency. And you will not have ownership to your property, to anything you own. You will be subject to the government's whim to do anything that they see fit with you, to take over your property, to move you out of your home, to send you wherever they want to send you. That is all on the books of executive orders by the president, and Congress doesn't have to even lift a finger, and the Supreme Court is impotent. The truth is, there is no constitutional government in the United States, beginning from the time of Woodrow Wilson, through FDR. Now, we had a little respite through some of the things between that until the time we come up to the present administration, which, as I have mentioned before, Washington, D.C. is like the insane asylum being run by the inmate. That's why I have said, you cannot solve spiritual problems by political means, because the revolution from within has already taken place. The revolution within the Christian community has also already taken place by an insipid, watered-down gospel to where no one has any strength of character to really stand up and preach the word of God, and to label all of these things as they are, as God does in the Bible. Now, I just want to say this in finishing this portion. do not think that you will solve any of these problems, religious or political, by the structure of the religious system in the world, or by the structure of the governments in this world, to solve these problems. Though you may have good intentions if you vote, ask yourself the question, though you may know many, many people who believe as you, did your vote really change one little teeny weeny thing? The answer, no. So I'll continue this in the next sermon. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.